number 63 in the chorus book. Number 63. I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Thank you.
you so much for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for your working in our hearts and lives. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus is still waiting for those who would trust in him as their personal Savior. I pray that if there be anyone here today that does not know him, that they would seek help from Brother Renzi or from one of us that can share the gospel with them and show them from your word how they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. We pray that no one would leave here today without the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We thank you for your work. We pray that you would guide and direct in everything that's done and said today. Your will may be accomplished in our hearts and lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, the weather was a little rough for part of the day yesterday, but if you didn't make it to the work day, you missed out on a good time. We had a good time yesterday. And some good fellowship, and we got some work done. So hopefully we'll have one of those another time. More of us will be able to be here and enjoy that. The main announcement I have for today is next Sunday, Brother Renzi can't be with us, and so Mark Reno will be here, okay? So we'll look forward to hearing from him next week, and I'm sure he'll be telling us all about what God is doing with the Conversion Center and all the things going on there. So next week, Brother Renzi won't be here, but Mark Reno will be. All right, so... And don't forget, before and after our services, there's our offering boxes and basket are in the back. If you would like to give something to the Lord, that would be great. So we here at this church do not pass an offering plate around. We want what you choose to give to be between you and the Lord. And nobody makes a guilt trip on anybody here. It's not a good thing. So trust that you'll give to the Lord as he's prospered you. All right, so I think that's it on announcements. So let's get back to singing. Number 81, Whisper a Prayer in the Morning. At noon and at evening.
Thank you.
one today is number 157, Gold Away. 157.
Turn to the book of Sunday school, we have been working on the thought of one another. And that's what the church is all about, by the way. The church is not about one individual. It's not about one person dominating everything. It's about one another. Amen? And when you look at the thought of one another in the New Testament, especially in the context of the local church, there's quite a few things that the Bible says in reference to one another. And then what we did was we kind of, I kind of put together the one another's and said, well, hold on a minute. You know, let's try to categorize the one another's as much as possible, as best as possible, to try to simplify it. And with that in mind, there was two thoughts about one another that I have, and I've been focusing the last few weeks on the first one. And the first one, I think, is the major one that we need to do concerning one another, and that is we need to love. Many, many one another's in the Bible
come under the category of loving one another. When you look at all the one another's in the New Testament, and especially in the context of the church, the majority of them are referencing loving one another. And matter of fact, we mentioned this, but Jesus told the disciples right before he was ready to head to Calvary, he commanded them three times, love one another, love one another, love one another. You see, he was getting ready to leave. And by the way, if they had issues with each other while he was there, and by the way, they did. In fact, one time the Lord said, what were you arguing about on the way? And they didn't want to talk to him about it, but he knew what it was. They were arguing about who was the greatest. Yeah, could you imagine that? You're with the Lord Jesus. You're with the Son of God, and you're talking about who's the greatest among the disciples. Amen. And so figuring this, if they're fighting with one another while he's there, what temptation will it be to fight with one another when he's not there? Amen. Physically. And so he had to emphasize that you love one another. Amen. And so we talked about loving one another. And by way of reiteration, let me give you some thoughts about what loving one another includes when we think about the thought of one another. We talked about this. It includes receiving one another. In Romans 14 and chapter 15, key verse number 7, receive ye one another as Christ received us to the glory of God. And in Romans chapter number 14, as you well know, it's a great chapter that deals with doubtful disputations. Receive one another, but not to doubtful disputation. You remember the Jews and Gentiles, when by the way, the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. Okay, there's three groups of people in the world: Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God, the Bible says. And so the Jews are those, the nation of Israel, and then the Gentiles are the unsaved, those that are not a part of the Jewish nation. But the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles who both accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. By the way, Jews and Gentiles are brought together. The book of Ephesians emphasizes that God had made one new man, one body. The middle wall partition which separated Jews and Gentiles in the temple was broken down by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. And that's why I have issues with people that say, well, we're the Jewish church. We're Jews that are saved and we have our own messianic group, if you will. No. Jews and Gentiles are a part of the church. We come together in this day and age. There's no distinction. In fact, I know, by the way, I don't doubt that some of the distinction is because of the different backgrounds. When Jews and Gentiles were first coming together, you're talking about people coming from knowing the word of God and knowing many laws of God, and then connecting with Gentiles who were foreign to that, who were idol worshipers and who had no respect for the Lord, and then bring these groups together and try to get along. One of the toughest things. By the way, unity, I mentioned this before, is found three times in the Bible. One time it's found in Psalm 133. You know, blessed or how pleasant and good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The only two other times the word unity is found in the Bible is in the book of Ephesians. The great need was for Jews and Gentiles to unite. That's like bringing oil and water together with the backgrounds, if you will. But by the Spirit of God, the church can have unity no matter what the background of individuals. Amen. And so loving one another includes receiving one another. And we talked all about that. But not only does it involve receiving one another, it also involves preferring one another. When you love one another, you prefer one another. In other words, you put others first. When you love somebody, you want the best for them. Now, the innate sinfulness and selfishness of humanity always wants number one. Can I get a witness on that one? We naturally think of ourselves first and foremost. That's nature. But because we're saved and by the Spirit of God, we supernaturally can deny ourselves and honor and prefer others above ourselves. In fact, the book of Philippians emphasizes that we need to esteem others, what? Better than ourselves. And so we looked at all of this and in reference to one another, we need to receive one another. We need to prefer one another, which involves considering one another and caring for one another. And then we talked last week about the fact we need to forbear one another. Forbear one another. You said, what does that mean? That means put up with one another. The book of Ephesians chapter number 4 verses 1 to 3 emphasize that. Put up with one another. Forbear one another. And by the way, the only way that we can do that is if we're spirit filled. In my flesh, I'm going to have a hard time putting up with anybody. But if I can overcome my flesh and be filled with the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God and by the fruit of the Spirit, by the results of the Spirit, I can put others first. Amen. And you can look at that in Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 and 23. As much as lieth in you, do all you can do to live peaceably with all men. Amen. We talked about that. We talked about loving one another involves receiving one another and preferring one another, forbearing one another. And then I think we ended with this, but we're not finished with it. And that is this, that loving one another involves forgiving one another, forgiving one another. And by the way, we need to learn to forgive one another. When you're a family, and by the way, that's what the church is. We're a family. When you're a family, you live among each other. And when you live among each other, you are going to have issues. Can I get a witness on that one? Now, I grew up, you know, we had 5 boys in our family, you know. And so it wasn't the nicest situation. You know, 1 bathroom. Now, I feel worse for my wife. She grew up 1 of 8. And then they had a person that they took in as well, actually like a sister to them. There was about 11 in that family with 1 bathroom. Could you imagine Sunday morning with 11 people and 1 bathroom? You have to learn to live with one another and love one another and certainly forgive one another. Amen? We're sinful human beings. By the way, we're not saved yet. Our souls are saved. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but our flesh is not saved yet. By the way, we're looking for that salvation. Amen. We're looking for that deliverance. Amen. But until I'm delivered from my flesh in me, Paul said, Romans chapter number 7, is no good thing. Amen. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Amen. Can I get a witness on that one? And the fact of the matter, we're sinful human beings and we're not always upbeat every day. By the way, that's why we need to love and forgive one another. One day I'm going to be up. And you're going to be down. One day you're going to be up. I'm going to be down. One day I'm going to need to forgive you. One day you're going to need to forgive me. Amen. And that's the way it is. If we're going to have unity, if we're going to love one another, listen, forbearing one another is one thing. Putting up with one another is one thing. But we need to forgive one another. And we looked at Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. It really emphasizes that. Now, what we're looking at this morning in reference to forgiveness, because I want to deal with forgiveness. Forgiveness, by the way, as you well know, unforgiveness is one of the tools of the devil. He can ruin marriages. He can ruin families. He certainly can ruin churches by unforgiveness. Amen. By the way, boy, when it comes to marriage and married couples understand this, there has to be forgiveness. Has anybody been married and never had a problem at all with their spouse? Everything's always been just, wow, there's been nothing ever to forgive. Hey, listen, we have to forgive things we think somebody's done. Can I get a witness on that one? What's the matter? Nothing. I know something. Forgiveness has to be a part of it. There ain't no bad. If you don't have to forgive what they've done wrong, you have to forgive what you think they've done wrong. Amen. I really didn't say nothing. I really didn't mean nothing. I can tell. Yeah, man. I know there's some. No, there's not. No, you're going to make something. We have to forgive, don't we? Look at Matthew chapter number 18. The devil works. Be angry, but sin not. That's righteous anger, which most of us are not afflicted with. Think about that. I mean, the right kind of anger at the right kind of moment, the right kind of situation, for whatever. Very, very rarely. I mean, but here's the thing. Be angry, sin not what? Let not the sun go down upon your what? Wrath. Now, what's the next verse in that text, Ephesians 4? Neither give place to the devil. You see, anger, unforgiveness in our hearts and minds gives place, gives space, gives opportunity for the devil to get in there. And let me tell you what the devil does. He puts a wedge. That's what he does. He puts a wedge. We looked at it before in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, I believe it is, verse number 11. We are not what? Ignorant of the devil's devices. In the very context of that, it's forgiveness. I believe that the man who was dealt with in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, who was kicked out for his immorality, I think he repented and he came back. And I think Paul was saying, listen, love that man. Confirm your love to that man. Forgive that man, lest Satan should get an advantage, lest he get the upper hand. See, unforgiveness is an opportunity for the devil to get in there and just ruin things. Amen? We have to forgive. We really do. We really do. Don't we have to do that? There are, and then again, by the way, the devil shoots fiery darts all the time. The preacher comes in and he's saying hi to people and he doesn't see you and he overlooks you and he goes to somebody else. What happens? What does the devil do? Oh yeah, yeah. He don't like you. He likes them people more. That's how the devil works. He plants thoughts. You know, I know why he said that. I know why he did that. You ever been there? You know, preacher gets up to preach and all of a sudden, you know, I know somebody told him about our situation. That's why he said that. We can't give the Lord any credit. We can't say, my, how God is speaking to my heart. We have to surmise. It's called what? Evil surmisings. We have to surmise somebody told him the situation. And that's why he's preaching that. By the way, that's not always the case. Now, sad to say, there are some preachers who preach on every situation that takes place. I don't think that's a good idea. I really don't. I think you need to be led by the Spirit, not by circumstances all the time to preach on, you know, the people's situations or whatever. Amen. But not everybody does that. And there are times when a preacher will get up and God will be moving in a very mighty way. And all of a sudden you're thinking, well, who told him the situation? Instead of giving God the credit for the situation. Amen. Matthew chapter number 18, we need to forgive one another. What I want to do this morning is I want to give you an acrostic of the word forgive. What I want to do is I want to take the word forgive and I just want to use each letter to bring out an emphasis on this, biblical forgiveness. Biblical forgiveness. Listen, we can come up with our own kind of forgiveness. There's a man-made forgiveness. I'll forgive if. By the way, we got to be careful because there's man-made everything that replaces what God really wants. Amen. It's almost like Saul when God told King Saul, I want you to go in and I want you to destroy the Amalekites. You remember that? Totally get rid of everything. What did he do? He went in and he got rid of everything that was worthless. But what did he did? He saved the life. Everything was good. He did not do what God wanted him to do, but he thought, well, this is a good idea. Amen. And there are times we could justify ourselves in doing things, but not according to the way God wants them done. So here's an acrostic on what I call biblical forgiveness. If we're going to forgive according to the book, here's how we're going to have to do it. It's going to come off of a parable. We'll look at Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse number 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. The Bible says this, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Huh. What a question. You know, that's the essence of saying, Lord, how much do I have to put up with this guy? I don't know who he's talking about. In fact, the disciples should have been coming to the Lord about him. Amen? Now watch what he says. He throws in a thought there till seven times. You know, that's his own conjecture. Right? So he's asking the Lord a question. Think about that. He's asking the Lord a question, and then he's going to throw in a good answer for himself. Think about that. By the way, let me just throw this in here. They say, and this is not clearly in the Bible, but they say that the Pharisees had a rule. Forgiving somebody three times was like dynamite. It was great. The Pharisees were the self-righteous religious folks, right? So the religious people said, forgiving three times is wonderful. So I think that Peter said, you know what, let's go above the religious ones. Let's do a little better than them. How about seven times? Whoa. You know what I mean? So he's actually throwing a good suggestion in there. And by the way, I like what the Lord immediately does, because if he didn't immediately do this, this might have became a statement that ran around. Yeah, the Lord said forgive seven times. Watch this. Look at verse number 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. By the way, can I tell you what he said? I didn't say that. Don't put that in my mouth. Don't blame me for that. See, Jesus had to put a stop to that right there. That standard. See, the Pharisees had a standard three times. Peter said, hey, let's do a lot better than them, because we are. Let's do the standard up to here. Let's do it right here. And the Lord said, whoa, that's not me. I didn't say that. Okay, so what does the Lord say? Look at verse number 22 on. He says, but until 70 times 7. Oh boy, that's 490 times a day. And I do not believe he's saying you ought to keep track of that. This is what's called hyperbole. It's called exaggerated expression. Let me tell you what I read when I see that. The sky's the limit. See, the world, the religious people of the world, they say three times, but we're better than them. So let's make it seven times, make ourselves feel good. And the Lord says, you know, their standard's one thing, your standard's another thing, and both of them are bad. Here's the standard. Unlimited forgiveness. Amen? Think about that. By the way, we got to be careful of this too. There's the rules of the world. And then there's rules of believers who are just better than the world, but yet they're not God's standards. Amen? Whose line is it anyway, right? The Lord's line. Look at verse number 23. Jesus goes to give a parable to illustrate forgiveness. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot. But for as much as he had not to pay, I like that statement, gets it. He had not to pay. He couldn't pay it. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, in payment to be made. Look at verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him. By the way, there's forgiveness right there. Forgiveness looses the person. When you forgive somebody, loose them. Let them go. Don't hold on to it. Hey, listen, we all suffer this temptation to forgive somebody for the wrongs they've done to us, but not truly let them go. And really forgive it. Now, I'm not some kind of psychiatrist or nothing like that, but it's one thing to forgive, and it's another thing to forget. And I don't think you can do both. Because some things are still in your memory of what happened. Somebody said this, if when you think about it, it still bothers you, you need to let it go. Amen? But anyway, let's read on. So that man owed a lot. But because of compassion, he was forgiven. He was loosed him and what? Forgave him the debt. Now, verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's nothing compared to what he owed somebody else. You know, the picture is this. We owe God a great debt, and he forgave us a great amount of sin. The sin that somebody does against us most of the time is not nearly the kind of sin we've committed against God. He's forgiven us so much, and yet we have a hard time forgiving others so little. It says, verse number 28, but the same went out and found one of his servants which owed him 100 pence. And get the next statement. He laid hands on him. Guess what? Remember when the king reckoned for the servant here? He never laid hands on this servant. But yet this servant goes and physically grabs this other person that owes him a little. He laid hands on him and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet. Boy, we got the same picture here. The first servant that owed a lot fell on his face, fell on his knees, and besought. And it says there, and then when he grabbed this man fell down and he besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. By the way, that's the same statement that man made. Same statement. Now look at verse 30. And then look at the next statement. And he, what's that say? You know what we do sometimes? We say, I just can't forgive that. I just can't forgive that. We're not true about that. It's not a matter of what I can or cannot do. The fact of the matter, it's a matter of the will, not of what I can or cannot do. See, if we're saved, we can do all things through Christ. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's possible. I think what we need to learn to do, if we could be more straight up and straight out with the Lord, I think we'd probably get better help and quicker help. We need to say, Lord, I don't want to forgive that person. Don't say I can't. Lord, I don't want to forgive that person. And I'm telling you the truth because I want you to help me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. Growing up in my family, my father was an alcoholic all of his life. His father was an alcoholic. And my father would break our windows in our home. He would beat my mother up and put her in the hospital. He would do crazy stuff to me and my brothers. Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I hated, my father. I mean, I couldn't wait. I was a young man. I couldn't wait to be big enough and strong enough because I wanted to break his jaw. I'm only being honest with you. You don't have to ever have me back if you don't want to. I'm being honest with you. I hated this man. What he did to our family and everything. When I got right with the Lord, guess what happened? I still hated him. I'm telling you the truth. I still hated him. But you know what I did? When I got right with the Lord, I knew I wasn't right. What I started to do was I started to say, Lord, I hate him. I hate him because of the whole situation, but I know it's not right. I would tell him, no, it's not right. Lord, forgive me and help me. Lord, forgive me and help me. And let me tell you something. For years, I would pray that. Guess what happened one day? I stopped praying that. Do you know why? I wasn't even thinking about it. You know why? Obviously, Lord, help me to forgive him. You understand what I'm saying to you? Lord, help me to forgive him. I'm only saying to you, we need to be honest with the Lord. Hey, listen, there's people, you and I, some of us have not been through a lot of things and we don't understand what it means to have to forgive some people. But I know some people who grew up and they've had some situations where they were, I don't think we have children, and they were molested and other things by parents. I know some people who've gone through some, I'm talking about some crazy things that they would actually have to forgive of people. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't tell them, oh, it's easy. I'll tell them I can understand to some degree. And what you need to do is you need to just be honest with the Lord. Say, Lord, in light of the situation, it's hard for me. But I know it's wrong. Please forgive me and please help me. Please forgive me and please help me. Amen? Last week we talked about persistent prayer. Remember that? That's one of the things that I was persistent about praying for because I knew I wasn't right and I needed God to help. If there's somebody that you're having a hard time for, ask God to forgive you and help you. When you ask forgiveness, immediately say, and help me with that. Amen? Let's read on. I'm not going to be able to cover too much more, but let's read on. Verse number 30. And he would not. Here's what he did, buddy. Went and cast him into prison. Boy, he did to somebody else what he didn't want done to him. That's the opposite of doing to others, right? Till he should pay the debt. Verse 31, by the way, people see this and they're saying, this is injustice here. This is injustice. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Verse 33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Look at verse 35, which is like the kicker. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you, get this next statement, from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. I cannot tell you what it means to be turned over to the tormentors. I have no idea. I've heard people say things, demonic activity and whatever. I'm not going to say to you, I know what it means to be turned over to the tormentors because you won't forgive. But that scares me, verse 35, that so likewise will my heavenly Father do to you if you don't forgive. Let me just say this. Unforgiveness is not going to help you at all. In fact, they say it hurts the one that's not forgiving more than the one that's not being forgiving. Or forgiven. Amen. I'm not going to be able to do it. Oh boy. I am not going to be able to do it. I will give you this thought. I want to give you this thought here. Do I want to give you that? No, I don't. The right kind of church is made up of the right kind of people. The right kind of people are people to have the right kind of attitude. They're not perfect people, but they have the right kind of attitude. Romans 12, the whole chapter, deals with the local church. And the proper attitude that a person has that's in the church ought to be three things. Merciful toward others. If you have an attitude of mercy toward others, you're going to help the church be a good church. Romans 12, 9 to 21 talks about not trying to get even with people, but overcoming evil with what? Good. It's about being merciful. An attitude of mercy toward others. Romans 12, 3 to 8 talks about an attitude of humility toward self. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Amen. If I'm going to have a good church, I need to be a good person. If I'm going to be a good person, I need to have a good attitude. An attitude of mercy toward others. An attitude of humility toward myself. When you think yourself something, when somebody crosses you, oh my. Amen. But when you and I know what we are, we can expect others to be just like us. We're sinful. We're going to do wrong. But then also we got an attitude toward God. And that attitude is one of that's respectful. And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. That you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Amen. Acceptable and perfect will of God. When you and I have the right attitude, merciful toward others, and God help us, humble toward ourselves, respectful toward God, we can help make up a good church. And guess what? Not next week, because Brother Reno's going to be here. The Lord willing, the following week, I'm going to give you an acrostic on the word forgive. Amen. But anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning in Sunday school. Father, please forgive us, Lord, for not forgiving others the way we should. Father, we've all been hurt. And the fact of the matter is we have all hurt somebody. We're not as innocent, Lord, sometimes as we think we are. I do pray, Father, if there's somebody we need to forgive, that you'll help us to do that. And if there's something we need to be forgiven for, I pray you'll help others to do that. Bless, we pray, our time of fellowship before we start our morning service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's take a break. Amen.